It was a Sunday morning, February 1984. I woke up in a strange house. I didn't know where I was. For the 3 or 4 months leading up to that time, I was just overwhelmed with a sense every morning I woke up what was missing in my life. I was guilty and ashamed of my life and the sin that I was living in, the drunkenness, the drug abuse, the violence, the sexual immorality, all the stuff that I had grown up just being so lost in my sin, so far from God. I was on probation the first time when I was in third grade. You know you're in trouble when you're starting life on probation in third grade for starting a wildfire and destroying people's properties and stuff. I was kicked out of school in 7th grade, in 8th grade, in 9th grade, in 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. I went before Judge Redmond and Judge Edwards, then back before Judge Edwards, charged with grand larceny when I was a freshman in high school. Shortly before that Sunday morning in February of 1984, we were at a party, my friends and I, and it was about 2 in the morning, we were drunk, we were high on cocaine, we were messed up, and we were leaving this party, and the manager of the apartments came over to break up the party. He had complaints. And he brought his brother, who was a big guy and kind of obnoxious, and the manager of the apartments was the bass player in the Calvary Chapel worship team. And they came out and they said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And I said, "Well, you know, we're leaving." And the brother began to egg on my friends. And I just thought immediately, I thought, this is not going to end well. First of all, there's 2 of them and there's 4 of us, and my friends love to fight. I wasn't a big fighter. I could do it, but I wasn't really into it. And just one push and boom, everything happened. And we did 2-on-2, and my friend Kevin and I took on the big guy. And we just beat the pulp out of him. I was on top of him, swinging as hard or as fast as I could. He was about 6'5", about 225, 235, big guy. And I knew if he got up, I was in trouble. And my friend came running, and I heard him scream in the air. And I looked over my shoulder. My friend was about 3 foot, 4 feet in the air with both feet cocked up. And he came down on this guy. I kind of leaned out of the way, and he came down on the man's head with both feet and knocked him unconscious. He just went limp. He was knocked out in the street. He about lost his eye. We were charged with assault and battery. Arrested the next day. Everybody knew who we were. And we had settled out of court just shortly before this time, but for about 3 or 4 months, I was, whatever this sick feeling inside was, I was just trying to drown it out. I'd just get drunker, I would do more drugs, I would go harder, so that I started waking up in all of these random places, because you drink so much you just black out. So I woke up and I went out to look at the street sign to see where I was. It was about 10:30 in the morning. I woke up in these strange people's homes. We had emptied into it after the bar had closed down, and I opened the door and it let the sunlight in because all the blinds were closed, and I realized we were on the President Streets in Twin Falls, my hometown, and somebody said, "Hey, let's go to the corner pocket. They opened at 11, it was about 10:30, and so we just started all over again. And I would look at myself, and I would ask myself this question: what's wrong with you? You're healthy, you have a good job, you have friends. What's wrong with you? And I was so miserable and so guilty and so ashamed of my life. Now I know it's the Holy Spirit. I was so under conviction for about 3 or 4 months. As the old writer says, the hound of heaven was on my trail and I could not escape. And so on that day, I went to the corner pocket with my friends. And because though I did not deal drugs, I was very into drugs and I knew all the local drug dealers. And somebody said, "Hey, I want some marijuana, and you know somebody, Rick?" And I said, "Well, that guy over there does." And he says, "Well, I don't know him. Will you make the introduction?" So I hooked him up, and they bought the drugs. And then another guy about 30, 40 minutes later came up and said, "Hey, I want some cocaine. Do you know anybody?" I said, "Well, that guy over there, different guy, he has some." And he said, "I don't know him. Make the introduction." So I did. And then I told my friends, "You know what? I'm going home." By now, it's about 4 o'clock, and I'm about half drunk. And I said, "I'm just going home." They said, "Hey, we're just getting started." And I went home, and I was all by myself, and I turned on my radio, and there's nothing good on the radio, and I turned on the TV, there's nothing good on the TV, and I was just pacing back and forth in the house, and I was asking myself, what is wrong with you? And you know, in that passage in 1 Kings, when the Lord spoke to Elijah, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, he was a still small voice, and I was so overwhelmed with a sense and an impression, why don't you pray? That was the thought that went through my mind. Why don't you pray? It was so powerful that I laughed out loud. I'm all by myself in the house. I went, pray. First of all, I thought, I can't ever remember praying except out of respect for my grandparents when they blessed the food. Secondly, who prays when they're half drunk? Shouldn't you be in church or something? And as I thought about it, this is my testimony. Everybody's got their own testimony, but at that moment, the power of the living God filled that room and overwhelmed this broken, drunken guy. And I fell to my knees, and this is my only prayer. God, please forgive me for the wickedness that I'm living in. The wickedness. And as overwhelmed with a sense of the forgiveness of God and the love of God, you see, I'd heard about Jesus when I grew up at different times randomly in my life. I'd heard about the gospel of Jesus. I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I knew the Bible was the Word of God. I just ran from it as hard as I could. I knew God was holy and I wasn't, and I knew God would want me to change and I didn't want to. And in that moment, I realized that God had forgiven me and saved me, and I was all by myself in the house. I began to jump through the house. I'm crying. I'm 19. I'm going, I'm saved. I'm saved. And there's nobody to tell. About a half an hour later, my mom walked in the door. She played in bar bands for many years, and she had been playing in the casinos in Nevada, and she had just got home. And I ran up to her, and I said, Mom, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I was still crying and just rejoicing that the death that I felt in my soul, the guilt, the emptiness, the hopelessness, the despair that had been haunting me for months had evaporated in the light and the beauty and the glory of who Jesus was. I told my mom, I'm saved. You have to understand, my mom watched me being just destroying myself. And so when I said I was saved, she didn't know what to think. Here he's crying. She thought, well, no, he's on an acid trip. What's his problem? And I have no idea that day that Jesus broke into my life and broke into my world. So that I had a grandmother that once I got saved, I asked her, I said, Grandma Jewel, I said, Grandma, how much you pray for me? She says, she was offended that I would ask her the question. She said, I've been on my knees every morning praying for your soul your entire life. The bass player that we beat up, that went to the Calvary Chapel, he went the next day black and blue face from being beaten up, and he prayed with the pastor that the Lord had, they knew it was a bunch of bull riders, we were all bull riders, and some crazy cowboy bull riders beat us up, and we want to pray for their salvation. About 6 months later, I started going to that church, and now I'm a Calvary Chapel pastor. So we have a joke around here. You know, if you're in trouble with the law, you're on the right track for ministry. Because you see, the grace of God that can save a wretch like me, the grace of God that is reaching out to you today, the grace of God that broke into your world and saved you 40 years ago or 4 years ago or 4 days ago, that same grace is not only enough to save you and to rescue you from hell and send you on a track to heaven, but that same grace and God's love wants to bring a fulfillment of his love and his joy and his peace every day of your life. It's not only eternal life, it's a quality of life here now. And that same grace that saves you, then that same grace wants to use you. That's what blew me away. I understood that God could save me, but I really honestly felt, you guys, that God can save people like me, but he keeps them in the closet so nobody else knows. Yeah, I saved him, but don't be opening that door because there's bad, you know, the bad ones are over there. But no, God in his grace, he makes us trophies of his grace, and he saves us, and then he uses us, and he says, this is what I do. In a hopeless, bankrupt, sinful, guilty, ashamed, hell-bound life, is I save them, and I love them, and I forgive them, and I change them, and I use them. And God is not ashamed to be called our God. Isn't that kind of shocking? God is not ashamed to be called my God. He's not ashamed to be called your God. I have a couple of thoughts as we close here today. And number one, I want to remind you Christians that have been saved for some time, if you came walking here feeling like, yeah, God saved me in his grace, but now it's all on me, I want you to know that same grace is just as fresh today and is just as huge as it was the day it saved you. And so for you to come in here dragging condemnation and guilt and shame, and God wants to set you free from that. He really does. That's not who he is. Jesus took all my wickedness, all of my shame, all of my humiliation, everything that every embarrassing thing that I ever did that I hope nobody in the world would ever find out about, Jesus took the shame of it and paid the price of it all on that cross for me, for you. Number two, I want to encourage you Christians that, you know what, you got people that you know and love that don't know Jesus. Have you been able to pray for them and share with them? And maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe you want to come to the training tonight and get five of these free DVDs that you can order online that they'll show you how to do it, and they'll be here in time for our outreach. But number three, and most importantly, if you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose from the dead. You see, not only does he take all of our sins on himself, but then he fills us with resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took all of my shame and humiliation, and he gave me his righteousness. And it's all by his grace. And I want you to know that today is the day of salvation. Don't run from the Lord. Don't turn the Lord. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Because I want you to know, when you say no to the Lord and you harden your heart, it gets easier and easier to say no to the Lord. And your heart gets harder and harder. And so today is the day of salvation. Today is an opportunity for you. Today might be that last lifeline that the Lord is throwing to you before you die and step into eternity. Maybe your last opportunity. You don't know. You're not promised tomorrow. You might not have another breath or another heartbeat or another day on planet Earth. You don't know how it'll happen, but you might have this last opportunity before you enter into eternity. And so I want to just ask us to pray. And I want to encourage you, saints, you might have known the Lord a long time, but there's nothing as refreshing as walking through the steps of experiencing the joy of salvation to remind you of where you came from and who you are in Jesus. Pray with me right now. Let's just bow our hearts and our heads in prayer. And if you want to just open your heart to the Lord, you saints, you want to help him along, I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross for me and that you rose from the dead. I pray that you would fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give me your love, your joy, your peace. I turn to you this morning and I ask that you would take my life and use it for your good. I surrender, Lord. I'm tired of running from you. I'm tired of fighting you. I'm tired of resisting you. I'm tired of ignoring you. I surrender, Jesus, to your lordship. Break the power of sin in my life. Break the power of the fear of death in my life. Help me with your strength to be obedient to you. Help me with your truth. Know that you conquered death, and I don't have to fear it anymore because I'll be with you in heaven. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.